the Torah portion. We try to get in one or two pieces each time. We try to keep it to a half hour so that we don't take too much time away from getting ready for Shabbos. Hopefully we're able to enter into Shabbos with renewed appreciation of the Torah reading and hopefully some inspiration. That's the point. So let me, this week, we're going to actually put the text on the screen. We didn't do that last week, so we'll put the text on the screen for this week. We'll see how that goes. Okay, so this week is Parshat Va'era, and we're going to look at two pieces of the Ramban again. That's the plan. We'll see how far we get. We'll see if we can get through both of them. The first one is from Perek Vav, Pasuk Yud Gimel. I'm sorry I don't have the English translation up on the screen, but I am going to translate as we go. The question that the Ramban is dealing with is there seems to be some repetition in the story. At one point, God says to Moshe that they are to command, to go speak to Paro, the king of Egypt, about freeing the Jews. And then there's an interruption. There seems to be an interruption. The interruption is a genealogical explication of where Moshe came from. And after that genealogical section, the Torah returns to God's conversation with Moshe, telling him to go to Paro. So in the earlier part of Ramban's commentary, he quotes a number of other authorities who give a very plausible answer, saying we have A, B, and C. We really have A, B, and A. A is the conversation between God and Moshe. B is the interruption of it because of the genealogy. And the next part is A2. It's just a continuation of the conversation that God had, that the Torah interrupted with the genealogy. So when you look over the Parsha, you'll see this, that there's a brief conversation, one verse, then the genealogy, then another conversation. And again, the Ramban notes that a number of commentaries say it's really the same conversation, just interrupted. The Ramban, and you see here, and now we're on the sheet, the Ein Kain Da'ati. I disagree, says the Ramban. I do not agree with that interpretation, that it's the same conversation. I think Ian and Annette have the right idea. This is a dessert class, a dessert reception with the Ramban. So everyone should feel free to bring their dessert. So the Ramban says, Ein Kain Da'ati. This is not my opinion. And he goes on to say, Aval kasher tziva Hashem et Moshe ledaber el b'nei Yisrael, v'chein emor l'v'nei Yisrael. The first conversation in chapter 6, God says, when God commanded Moses to speak personally to the children of Israel, when God said, therefore speak to the children of Israel, v'yasachin v'lo shamu elav, Moshe did this, and they didn't listen to him. If you remember, they did not listen to Moshe, right? All the way back in that verse, it says, "V'lo shamu el Moshe mikotzer ruach u'me avodat Hashem." They didn't listen to Moshe because of the hard work. So Moshe tried to talk to them, and they didn't listen to him. V'chazar, then the Ramban continues, "V'chazar v'tziva oto she'avo el paro v'yetzaveyu oto v'shalcham." So then God commands Moshe to come to Paro and personally command him to send out the Jewish people. Ve'az anahu hein b'nei Yisrael lo shamu elai. At this time, Moshe answered to God that the children of Israel are not going to listen to him. Meaning, this is a fool's errand. So then God tells Moshe and Aaron to go speak to Paro. And now we get to the beautiful lesson that the Ramban is teaching. V'chashav Moshe ki shnehem yitnavu b'chol ha'otot v'shnehem yavohu el b'nei Yisrael ve'el paro. Moshe thought that both he and Aaron would receive prophecy, and both of them would prophesize, and they would go speak to Paro. Moshe thought that both of them, he and his brother, would receive prophecies regarding the signs that they were to perform, and that both of them would come to Bnei Yisrael and to Paro. V'dai she'idaber echad. Even though they're both going to get the prophecy, only one of them is going to speak. Ki kein derech kol shnayim shluchim she'echad yidaber v'hasheni yacharish. Says the Ramban, this is common practice when two people are sent as emissaries. One person speaks and the other person remains silent. V'nitpayes bazeh. Moshe was comforted by this. He felt okay with this, meaning he wasn't comfortable going. He didn't think it was going to work. Then God says, okay, you go with your brother, which Moshe interpreted it as your brother is going to be your equal partner, except that only one of you is going to speak. But when it comes to prophecy, your brother is going to be your equal partner. V'chazar Hashem v'amar elav. However, then God comes back and says, Ani Hashem. I am the one, meaning I am the one, ha-nigla l'cha levadcha. I am the one, I am only revealing myself to you, l'daber bishmi ha-gadol, to speak in my name. Daber el paro melech mitzrayim et kol asher ani dover elecha. You, Moshe, alone, you have to go speak to Paro and tell him everything I said to you. Ki lecha yehu hadibrot kulam. I'm only going to speak to you. V'lo la'aharon. I'm not going to also, v'lo la'aharon imcha. I'm not going to, along with you, speak to Aaron. V'otcha asiti hashaliach el paro. I've made you my emissary to go to Paro. So Moshe now is getting news which he doesn't like. Right, he does not feel that he's being successful. And he feels a little better now that God is sending him with Aaron. And then Aaron's going to also get prophecy. God says, no, you misunderstood. Aaron's going to go with you. But you are the one who's going to be the prophet. You are getting the prophecy. And now something really, really interesting happens. Az ana Moshe ha-macheret, hein ani aral sefatayim. Moshe answers again, I have a problem with my lips. I have sealed lips. I can't speak. V'Hashem amar elav v'reina taticha Elohim leparo. And so God said to him in response, I have made you a master over Paro. Let's look at this word. Re'e ani netaticha Elohim leparo. That's going to be a key phrase in the Ramban's explanation of what's going on here. I've made you a god, a master over Paro, and Aaron, your brother, is going to be your spokesman. Ki atatavo lefanavim Aaron, you're going to come before Paro with Aaron. Visham titzave et Aaron, v'lo yishma Paro divarecha. You're going to sort of whisper to Paro what to say, and Paro will not hear you. V'aaron b'shlichutcha yashmiu divarecha. Aaron, as your emissary, as your messenger, is going to make your words heard to Paro. Listen to this. Ka'asher ha'elohim mitzaveh l'navi. Look what the Ramban does here. He elevates Moshe almost to a God-like level. When God speaks to a Navi, God says, there are three parts of God speaking to a Navi. God, the prophet, and the target of the prophecy. So let's say we have God tells the prophet to speak to the Jewish people. Right? So there's three partners, if you will, in that. And what does God tell Moshe? Same thing. There are three partners here. You, Aaron, and Paro. You're the God in this play. Aaron's the prophet, and Paro is the target of the prophecy. Kasher Elokim mitzaveh l'navi. You're going to tell Aaron what to say, just like God tells a prophet what to say. V'hanavi mashmi'a divarav u'mochiach b'hem. And the prophet makes the word of God heard and tells the people and reprimands the people. So this is really, really very interesting. We say in the Torah there's no prophet like Moshe, and that Moshe was the most humble. But here the Ramban says not only that, but what is the definition of Moshe's greatness? God puts him on a pedestal and says to him, you're almost like me. You're acting in the same way that I'm acting. And then the Ramban says, V'hineze ma'ale gedola l'Moshe. This is a great esteem for Moshe. Zachaba, and now here's the lesson. Zachaba ba'an v'tanuto shehaya bosh l'daber berlatzifatayim. Why did Moshe deserve this great position? Because he was an anav. Because he himself was modest. And he didn't want to speak. He didn't think he was worthy to speak because of his sealed lips. And it also says that Moshe was great in Egypt in the eyes of the servants of Paro and in the eyes of the people. Mida keneged mida. Measure for measure. The more humble, the more humble that Moshe was, the more honor he got. Mida keneged mida. Shehaya yare shelo yeh nivze b'einehem. Moshe was concerned that he would be scorned by them because of his speech problem. And not only was he not scorned, but he was considered to be great. So this is just so many beautiful things here. The two main points of the Ramban are, first of all, he explains the back and forth. Again, so this is not the continuation of the same conversation, which the Ramban said. Rather, this is a new conversation. Moshe had given up. And God says, all right, here's what's going to happen. Here's the plan. He's trying to give Moshe a pep talk. So that's the first point in terms of parshanut. It's not a continuation of the same conversation. But the messages embedded here are really interesting. First of all, how the Ramban understood Moshe's position, that God is telling Moshe, you're going to operate the same way I operate, almost like a god. You're not the Navi anymore. You're the creator of the message, which is what God does. The Navi, the spokesman, is Aaron, and the target is Paro. So Kasher, this language that the Ramban uses, Kasher Elokim Mitzaveh L'Navi, just as God does, it's a very loaded language, I think, in that the Ramban is trying to get us across a very interesting point. And the beautiful other point is Mida Keneged Mida, which is the more you run away from honor, the more honor you are going to get, which is what Pirkei Avot says, right? If people, I think it's in Pirkei Avot, that if people, those who run away from honor, honor runs after them. And that's what's happening with Moshe here, right? He's not seeking honor. In fact, he's hesitant to take on this leadership position. And nonetheless, God gives it to him. And in the end, Paro and the people of Egypt and his own people, they all consider Moshe to be a great person. That's Ramban number one. We gained three things from that Ramban: an understanding of the flow of the verses, two, how great Moshe was, and three, what his real greatness indeed was, and that is his humility, and it's his humility that ultimately led to his greatness. Let me stop here for a second or more, whatever's needed, to see if anyone has any comments or questions about this first Ramban. Feel free to unmute yourself if you'd like to say anything. Any comments or questions? Okay. If not, we're going to move on to a gigantic topic. We're just going to touch on it for 10 minutes. This is the topic that is raised by the fact that the Torah multiple times says that God is going to harden Pharaoh's heart and then punishes him for not freeing the Jews. And of course, the question is, that's not fair, right? If God is the one who hardens Pharaoh's heart, then certainly Pharaoh can't be held accountable for not letting B'nai Yisrael free. This is a question that the Ramban deals with, that virtually all of the commentaries deal with. And we're just going to look at the Ramban. Okay, so here we go. Everyone understand the question? Anyone have a question on the question? Okay, great. Here we go. We have the English and the Hebrew this time. Okay, there's at the end I put other commentaries, but we're just going to stick to the Ramban. We're going to stick to the program. Vani ekshe et lev paro. I am going to harden Paro's heart. Amru b'midrash rabba. So what the Ramban is going to do is quote a midrash, and it is going to teach us that this midrash is giving us two answers to this question. You may have not noticed that the midrash is answering this question, but the Ramban tells us that embedded in this midrash is the answer to the question. So this is found in Perek Zion, Pasuk Gimel, 7:3. Okay, here we go. Amru ba midrash. The midrash rabba. It says in Midrash Rabbah, Gila lo shehu atid lechazek et libo ba'avur lasot bo hadin. God revealed to Moshe that God would in the future harden Paro's heart so that judgment would be done on him, tachat she'avidem be'avodah kasha, because he enslaved them with hard labor. The Ode Sham, and we also read there in a different part of the Midrash, because I made his heart heavy. Here's the question. It's already asked in the rabbinic literature. From this verse, says Rabbi Yochanan, the Minim, the heretics, say that they have no chance of doing tshuva. How could they have repented if God hardened their heart? Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Yastem pihem shel minim. Rabbi Shimon Menlaka said, let the mouths of these minim be closed. Ella im leleitzim hu yalitz. Rather, he laughs at mockers. He was mitarebo pam rishona, vishnia, vishlishit, ve'eno chozerbo, v'hu noel bo delet minatshuva. He, meaning Paro, was warned once and twice and three times, and he did not repent. And he closes the door of tshuva, kedei lefroa mimenu mashachata, in order to extract retribution from what he has sinned. Kach paro harasha. Similarly, with the evil paro. Kevan sheshagara kodesh baruch hu etzlo chamesh pamim v'lo hashgiach al devarav, since God said to him five times, he sent warnings to him five times, and paro did not listen. Amar lo kodesh baruch hu, Atak shita tarpecha v'chbaltat libcha. You yourself hardened your heart. Hareini mosif lecha tum'ah al tumatcha. I am going to add impurity to your impurity. That's the midrash. Okay, and now we get to the Ramban's interpretation of the midrash. V'hine, he says, and here perusho b'sheila asher yishalu hakol. He says, here is the explanation concerning the questions that everybody asks. Im Hashem hiksha et libo, ma pisho. If God hardened his heart, what was his sin? Shnei ta'amim u'shneihem emet. There are two explanations in this midrash, and they are both true. I mean, they're both good. Okay, One. Okay? Ha-echad. Here's the first one. Just highlight this where it starts. Ha-echad. The first explanation is, and it's in English here. Every time you click on something, it moves you back to the beginning. Sorry about that. The first one here. First, Paro, in his wickedness, had unjustifiably treated the Jews terribly. So he was punished with the withdrawal of the path of repentance. And there are many verses regarding this in the Torah and the writings. And he was punished by his original deeds. Let me explain. Okay. The first is that Paro became, at the beginning, right, it doesn't say that God hardened his heart. Paro did this all on his own. And his decision to kill the baby boys and to make their work harder, that was all his decision. And therefore, he became liable to penalty. Right, you do a sin, there is a penalty. There's a punishment. Okay, and so therefore, because he was liable to the penalty, nitchayev limnoa mimenu darkei atshuva. Therefore, the path to repentance had to be taken away, because if he was allowed to repent, there wouldn't been the possibility, perhaps the possibility of punishing him for his sins, would have gone away. And the Rambam notes that there are examples of this, that a person can sin to such an extent that repentance is removed from them. The Rambam, Maimonides, says something similar, meaning it's true, we generally have a rule of free will, except when we don't. When someone does something so grievous that God takes away their ability to do tshuva, it's rare. But the Ramban says it happened here, and it's not the only time. It's not the only time that it happened. That's the first thing he says. And that's the first part of the Midrash as well, where it says, Gila lo shuatid lechazek et libo ba'avor la'asot lo hadin. God hardens his heart so that judgment would be done for him. So that judgment would be done for him. So that's answer number one. Answer number two. Kasher bo bazep sukim rabin ubichtuvim lefi ma'asav harishonim nidon. He's really being only punished. The Ramban is saying something very interesting here. The punishment. Hold on. What just happened here? The punishment that he's getting. Interesting to note is only, I guess, for the beginning of the enslavement. Once God, in fact, hardened his heart, he's not being punished for that anymore. He's only being punished lefi ma'asav harishonim, his early sins, meaning before God hardened his heart. Meaning the Ramban is suggesting it's true. For the stuff, once God had already hardened his heart, God can't punish him for that. But the first stuff was so bad that God had to take away his ability to repent. V'atam hasheni. And the second explanation, ki hayu chatzi hamakot alav bipisho. The first half of the ten plagues were because of his own sin, were because of his own choice. We're over here. Secondly, only the second half of the ten plagues were brought upon Egypt due to Paro's transgressions. As the Torah states, the second explanation is that half of the 10 plagues befell him because of his sin. For in the verse dealing with those plagues, it is stated only, Paro's heart became hard. Paro hardened his heart. I mean, it doesn't say that God did it. At the beginning, Paro was hardening his own heart. So you see that he did not want to send out the people to glorify God by honoring his command. The Paro was in a fight with God. Aval kasher gavru alav hamakot vinil et lisvol otan rach libo. But when the plagues overwhelmed him and he was suffering, he considered sending them out, but only because of the harshness of the plagues. L'shalchan michoved hamakot v'lo lasat ritzon bara. He was sending out for the wrong reasons. God was trying to teach Paro a lesson, but Paro wasn't getting it. So Paro said, I got to get rid of them because they're really a pain in the neck, but not because I honor God or do the will of the Creator. V'az ikshah Hashem et rucho v'imetzat levavo l'man saper shemo. So then God hardened his heart and emboldened his heart in order for God's name to be declared throughout the world. K'inyan shekatuv v'hitgadalti v'hitgadashti v'nodati le'enei goyim rabin. I will be exalted and I will be sanctified and I will make myself known before the eyes of many nations. So what the Ramban is saying here is that God hardened Paro's heart so that he be punished for his own hardening of his heart, the first five plagues, so that God's name would be glorified. God's punishment of evil, right, that exalts God's name. We like that, right? We like when, maybe we call it karma, right? We like when bad people are punished, right? We think that the world is working right when bad people are punished. And the Ramban puts it in theological terms. God is elevated when bad people are punished. And so God hardened Paro's heart so that he could punish him for the first half, and then which would ultimately lead to Paro sort of giving in and declaring God's greatness. V'asher amar kodem hamakot v'ani echazak et libo lo yishlach et ha'am. So for what God said before the plagues even began, but I shall harden his heart, yodia l'moshe ha'atid li'asot bo b'makot achronot. That was about the second half of the makot, and not the first half. And this also is, so that's the Ramban's explanation. So he gives, again, just to review, two explanations of how this works. One is sometimes you do something so bad that you lose your right to repent. That's God's decision. God gets to make that decision. God makes the rules of how tshuva works. The second reason is, it's true he took away Paro's free will, but he took it away for the greater good, if you will, of getting Paro to admit that this was in fact God. And the only way he could do that was if Paro would continue to say no till it got so bad that he would have to eventually say yes. Because otherwise he would have let them free without admitting that it was God. And that wasn't good enough for God. God wanted it to be that Paro let them free only after he realized that he was outgunned by God. So those are the two Rambans for the day. And I'll just return to the first one to end with that beautiful lesson, which is if we really want honor, we have to run away from honor. But we have to do it legitimately. We can't be like, oh, I deserve a lot of honor, so in order to get it, I'm going to run away from it. Now, that doesn't work, right? We have to really have this midah, this characteristic of anava, of humility. And once we have the anava of humility, then God will give us the honor and the respect and the acknowledgement that we need. Running after it, seeking it out, is not the way of the Torah. Being humble, doing what we need to do without fanfare, that is what God wants of us, and is probably a healthier way to live anyway. Because when we seek and run after honor, we're almost always going to be disappointed that we didn't get the honor, enough honor, or the amount of honor that we deserved. And then we're going to chase after more honor, and it's a vicious, vicious cycle. So Moshe is the way to go here, my friends. Okay, so with that, I wish you all a Shabbat Shalom. I hope you take these messages with you for this week and this Shabbat. And everyone should have a beautiful Shabbat and be healthy. And thank you for joining. Anyone have anything they'd like to say?
Thank you, Rabbi.
Be quiet. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom. Good night, bye. Everybody.
Bye.
Hope
bye.
To see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye, all.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye, Bonds.
Bye-bye. Shabbat shalom.